Aditi. Jordan had dinner brought to him in the guest suite. As he ate, barely tasting the food and wine, he wondered if Aditi could reach him in this new location. She had explained to Jordan that the New Earth FTL system tracked his wrist communicator, so that it didn't matter where he was, she would be able to find him. Yes, he said to himself. But is the system really that good? Can it avoid detection by Halleck's people? And overriding every other consideration, what will they do to Aditi if I go through with Otero's broadcast? This whole mess started when I made that broadcast last week. What will Halleck's reaction be when I show up on the air again? Hello, dear Jordan. He snapped his attention to the holographic viewer built into the sitting room wall. Aditi appeared to be sitting there, across the room from him, near enough to touch, to hold. Hello, darling, he said as he got up from the dining table and went to the sectional sofa. How are you?
I'm fine, she said, smiling a little. They're treating me quite well. But how are you? And where are you?
Wondering if he could answer his wife's question without Halleck's people listening in, Jordan plunged ahead anyway. I'm in the Boston area, a guest at the home of the owner of the Otero Broadcasting Network.
It looks rather magnificent, Aditi said.
Stylish, Jordan agreed. But it's just another prison, really. I can't go outside for fear of being spotted by World Council agents.
How did you get to Boston? Why are you there?
Jordan explained about the special show that Otero was planning. I'm going to rattle Anita Halleck's cage, he said, surprised at the heat seething within him. Aditi giggled.
We're the ones in cages.
I intend to put an end to that.
You're going to run for the World Council seat?
He nodded. If I can get out from under Halleck's insistence on putting me in protective custody.
Wonderful!
Aditi clapped her hands happily. But then she added,
I miss you, Jordan.
He wanted to get up from the sofa and cross the room to embrace her. She looked so real, so lovely, so desirable. But all he could do was reply, I miss you too, dearest. Sensing his discontent, Aditi said,
Tell me about the show you're going to do.
Jordan explained what he wanted to do, then repeated to her Otero's dictum that he had to show the viewers the alien worlds, and not merely talk about them.
I'll ask Audrey about that, she said.
Jordan asked, Do you think he has imagery of other worlds?
Our astronomers do, I'm sure. The predecessors sent scouts to many worlds, landers as well as orbiters.
That would be wonderful. Looking pleased that she could be of help, Aditi said,
I'll ask Audrey about it as soon as we finish our talking.
It took hours before they finished. Anita Halleck was not accustomed to waiting. When she summoned someone, that person came to her immediately. Not Rudy Castiglione, though. The handsome, roguish Italian was always late for his appointments. Not terribly late, just a few minutes, never more than a quarter of an hour. Just enough to establish some slight measure of independence. And Halleck allowed him to get away with it. Rudy was too charming to chastise, and too useful. Halleck was pacing impatiently across the carpeted floor of the study in her home on Barcelona's outskirts. It was nearly midnight. The weather forecast called for rain between midnight and 3 a.m. Despite her irritation, Halleck smiled to herself. If Rudy doesn't get here soon, he's going to get wet. Signor Castiglione has arrived, Madame Chairwoman, announced the digitized voice of the house's communication system. The human servants were all in their quarters. Halleck wanted no witnesses to Castiglione visiting this late at night. The chairwoman of the World Council has to be above reproach, she believed, above even the slightest hint of misbehavior. On the display screen built into the cozy little room's bookshelf-lined wall, she watched Castiglione striding gracefully up the wide staircase and heading straight toward the study, which adjoined Halleck's bedroom. He opened the door and peeked in, a slightly sheepish expression on his handsome face. I know I'm late, he said, one hand behind his back as he stepped into the room. I saw these on the Ramblas and stopped to get them for you. With a flourish, he whipped a bouquet of exotic-looking colorful flowers from behind his back. They're from the jungles of Brazil. I thought you might like them. They're beautiful, Rudy, she said, her inflection as flat as the communication system's. Put them somewhere.
We have a problem to discuss.
Problem? Jordan Kell has apparently gone to Boston. My security people believe he's with Carlos Otero. Castiglione laid the flowers on an end table and walked toward her, his lips pursed.
Otero? That could be trouble.
We've got to stop Kell from going public again. He's got to be contained.
And you want me to, contain him?
That's right.
No questions asked? I can use whatever means necessary?
Within limits. I don't want anyone murdered or an urban riot, for God's sake. You've got to be discreet.
Castiglione nodded. All right, I'll go to Boston.
Good. Have you been there before?
Ages ago. As a student, I played a football match there, although the Americans call it soccer. An odd sort of people.
Very well, said Halleck.
Get to Boston and bring Kell back here.
With a sigh, Castiglione said,
We could have had this discussion over a secure phone call. There wasn't any need for me to come all the way out here. And now it's started to rain.
Halleck looked into his softly dark eyes and saw an expectation there. The shadow of a smile curling her lips, she said,
Well, as long as you're here, I suppose you ought to stay the night.
Castiglione's answering smile was incandescent.